welcome to the My Breast, My Health podcast. My name is Tasha Gendebihadja, and I am your host, and I'm also a breast cancer surgeon. The aim of this podcast is to help you through and beyond a breast cancer diagnosis so that you can reclaim your health and live your best life. Thank you so much for joining me. Today we are going to delve deeper into the world of yoga, specifically yoga in breast cancer recovery. Breast cancer treatment can have far-reaching effects both physically as well as mentally, and yoga is a practice that can help with both. Today I'm joined by Marcia Mercier, who is a certified Yoga Alliance teacher, who is also an expert in teaching yoga for cancer. In this episode, we talked about how yoga helped Marcia in her own recovery, and we also talk about the various benefits a yoga practice can bring. Unfortunately, as we know, breast cancer treatment can have significant side effects, and Marcia explains how yoga can help alleviate these, especially how it can help with fatigue, building bone strength, improve mobility, as well as emotional well-being. It was a great conversation, which I'm sure you will enjoy. Whether you are a lifelong yoga practitioner, you've just started out, or if you are thinking about trying out yoga, then this episode is definitely worth a listen. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Marcia Mercier. Hi, Marcia. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. And how are you today?
I'm really good. Thank you, Tasha. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you for spending time with me and the listeners today. I'm super excited about our conversation because we are going to be talking all things yoga related. And you have been a yoga instructor for many years now. Lots of people probably listening to this podcast do practice yoga. There might be people who are just starting out on their yoga practice, and there might be people out there who are just thinking about starting yoga. And whatever place they are in their yoga practice, there's always a reason behind why people start practicing yoga. So, and you have your own background story. You have your reasons as to why you started yoga. So would you be able to tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and why you started yoga and how it's become such a big part of your life?
Yeah, so my first experience of yoga was in 1998 when I was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 32. And I went through the surgery and everything that I needed to go through to get through my breast cancer. And it's amazing when you're going through something, you do find some sort of inner resilience to get through it, to get through cancer. And it kind of takes you by surprise when you do come through it. You imagine that, everything's going to sort of slot back into normal after your treatment and surgery and everything. And for me, what took me by surprise was the fact that I didn't feel elated. I didn't feel that I could just easily kind of slot back into being a mother of two little boys. And right. I found that I was being quite short-tempered with them. I found that I was very tearful, and it was just so out of character for me. I didn't really know what was going on. So I went along to my GP and had a chat with her, and she said that all of these feelings are really normal to experience after you've been through a trauma, and certainly a diagnosis of cancer is a traumatic experience. And yeah. So she wanted to refer me for some counselling, and I ummed and ahed about it, and I kind of wanted to sort of leave it really because I didn't feel it was right for me. And right. That's when I thought, well, actually, I'm just going to take myself off to a yoga class. I kind of had this idea that yoga rebalanced the body both mentally and physically. And that's what I felt that I really needed at the time. I went there with a completely open mind, didn't really know what to expect. But that first experience of my yoga class really resonated with me, and I loved it. And I knew that this was going to really help me. I didn't really know how it was going to help me, but I knew whatever it was right. doing was really helpful. It was making me feel stronger in my body. It was making me feel calmer in my mind, and it was something that I was doing just for me.
Right. People do cope with their breast cancer diagnosis differently, and you find your own path really to help you process the information that you've been given at the start of your diagnosis, to then having to go through treatment and get through the other side. And yes, it is, you know, any cancer diagnosis is a traumatic experience and people have different coping mechanisms. And yoga certainly is something that a lot of people have embraced following breast cancer treatment. You know, I remember my first yoga class actually, and unlike yours, mine wasn't that great.
Okay.
I went with a friend.
It's variable.
Yeah. I went with a friend of mine and, you know, we just like, oh, I'm not really sure what this is about. And unfortunately, it wasn't a great experience. But then I think perhaps it was the wrong type of yoga. We can talk about yeah. you know, the different kinds of yogas that are out there. Yeah. And I think it was the wrong type of yoga for me. And then I revisited it again. And, you know, and this was many years ago. And I love yoga and I do practice yoga myself. So I... Well, personally great. Understand the reasons why yoga can be so beneficial, not only for your physical health, but also for your mental health. Mm. So for you, how did yoga specifically help your recovery?
I think, first of all, it was something positive that I was doing for myself. Having, you know, just let the medical professionals take charge of my body for however long they needed to get me through the sort of recovery from my breast cancer, it was just a positive step of me taking charge of my body again. And it made me feel in control, that I was in control yeah. of something. It yes. gave me that space, that 90 minutes, you know, on my mat, away from the family. In fact, I would drop my child off at nursery. I'd then race back to the yoga studio, do my 90 right. minutes on the mat and then race back and get him. But it was worth it just to spend that time just for me, just devoting that time on my mat for me. The style of yoga that I started off doing was Iyengar. So it was it's a strict alignment focused practice. And there was something about it that I really loved, in that it reminded me, I suppose, of the ballet that I used to do as a child, and right. it seemed to sort of just resonate with my body. I loved what we were yeah. doing. I loved that it was strict, and I just carried on, and I did that for about 2 years, and then after that I started a more dynamic type of yoga called Ashtanga, right. and that has become, you know, part of my own kind of personal practice. So, you know, I've experienced different styles of yoga over the course of the years. But those Iyengar classes in the early days were what got me through the recovery from breast cancer. Right. And, you know, okay. I felt it wasn't just a physical practice, although it made me very strong in my body. It also just focused my mind, because in those classes you really have to focus so much on the alignment of the pose and the breathing that you can't really think about anything else. So that was right. Quite yeah. a good kind of meditative practice for me.
Right. So I guess it's firstly it's the taking back control of your health, because of course, you know, when you get a diagnosis, you somehow have to relinquish that control to the people, the doctors who are looking after you, yeah. and just go with, I guess, you know, of course, with full discussion, you go with what has been advised. You were quite young when you were diagnosed. You were 32. So what treatment did you have?
So my breast cancer initially was thought to be DCIS, ductal carcinoma in situ. I found a lump under the crease of my right breast. And because it wasn't directly in my breast, it was in the crease of the breast above, you know, my rib cage, I just felt like it was just a bit of cartilage or something. And because of my age, I wasn't really worried about it at all. So I let time go on. I didn't really do anything about it. I became more aware of it as I bathed and I was, you know, feeling it, and I noticed that it had got slightly bigger. And then I did go along to the GP, and she, again, wasn't particularly concerned because of my age, but she did refer me to a breast specialist. So I had an ultrasound, I had a fine needle aspiration, and again, they weren't expecting anything to come back from it, but the results did come back as being suspicious. And then it was confirmed right. that it was ductal carcinoma in situ. I had an initial wide local excision, but they didn't get clear enough margins the first time round. And because I don't have, you know, that my breasts aren't that big, to get more breast tissue away would have left them quite deformed. So they suggested that maybe I want to consider a mastectomy, which when they first mentioned that word mastectomy, I just was horrified. I just didn't want to be contemplating that at age 32 or ever, really. So after some time, I did decide to actually go for the mastectomy. So I had a mastectomy with an immediate reconstruction using a saline implant, which is the expander, an expandable implant. And the result, the cosmetic result was really good. I felt really good about my body because I it was important for me to wake up from surgery with a something that resembled the shape of a breast. So that was the breast surgery. I had two lots of surgery ending in the mastectomy. And then I took tamoxifen for a few years afterwards. Because I didn't have any invasion into my lymph nodes, and because it was mainly DCIS, although there was a small percentage that was invasive breast cancer, I didn't actually need to have chemotherapy or radiotherapy. So I had the surgery, and then I took the tamoxifen. And I took the tamoxifen for a few years, maybe for 3 years, I think. And I said to my oncologist that I was really keen to have another baby. She let me come off the tamoxifen, and I did actually go on to have my third child. So I do feel really fortunate that it's all worked out in a very positive way for me.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. Well, thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that. And so then you embraced yoga, and you know, you found that it was immensely helpful for you. And then did you just do yoga practice what, a couple of times a week or once a week, or how did it progress from there?
It was really just twice a week. I used to go to classes twice a week, and it coincided when my youngest child was at nursery. And I carried on like that for a couple of years, and then changed to a different style of yoga. And then over the years, I mean, this was, you know, it's back in, that was started off in 98. And then over the years, as I became more confident in my own practice, I developed a self-practice, and that's really what the Ashtanga style of yoga that I practice encourages. But really all yoga, any style of yoga, you know, should ultimately be a self-practice. You shouldn't have to wait for wait for a teacher. You know, once you're fairly established in your practice, it's nice to be able to do something yourself.
You've already mentioned two types of yoga. So can you tell us a little bit about the different kinds of yogas? Because I think for those who don't know anything about yoga, or may not be familiar with the types of yogas, and they are quite different in terms of what they are and the practices they involve. So can you tell us a little bit about that and what the different types there are?
Sure. I'm not going to go through this. There are so many of them, probably some that I'm not even aware of myself. But I'm going to start off with the styles of yoga that would be safe enough to do as a beginner, or as someone who is recovering from breast cancer. So an Iyengar style class, which I've already mentioned, is very alignment focused, and you hold the poses for quite a long time. That would be a good starting point. A Hatha based class, again, is a more gentle class, very traditional practice. You might flow a little bit, but you're not going to be doing anything that's, you know, going to sort of be too much weight bearing or anything on your kind of upper body. So I'd say Iyengar and Hatha are the two forms of yoga that I would, you know, suggest. There's also restorative yoga, which is fabulous for calming, you know, the nervous system, and a lovely way to unwind the body, which is fabulous. But I wouldn't just say practice that alone, because you do need the strength building practice of something like Iyengar or Hatha to go with it. So I think you need a little bit of everything as someone who is using yoga to help them recover from cancer, because you need to build that body strength back. You need to get the body moving and the circulation going. So a solely restorative practice wouldn't be enough in itself, but it's a lovely practice to do, you know, as an addition to another class. The yoga classes that I would avoid at this particular stage, if you're, you know, recovering from breast cancer, are the dynamic forms of yoga, such as vinyasa flow, such as Ashtanga, hot yoga. All those dynamic practices are fairly fast moving and they're very strong, particularly on the upper body. You need to have already built a fair amount of upper body strength before you start to practice that. So, you know, maybe that's something for further down the line, you know, once you've actually established your practice, and then maybe move on to that. But I certainly wouldn't be recommending that at this particular point, because there are certain poses that aren't recommended for anyone who is, you know, who's just had surgery or is recovering. Such as the downward facing dog is not something that I would teach in my yoga for breast cancer classes, because it can put too much weight bearing on the upper body. And also if you're suffering from lymphedema, it can potentially exacerbate lymphedema. So downward facing dog, planks and chaturangas are again something that I avoid in my yoga for breast cancer classes, but these are things that you can build up to, you know, months down the line, years down the line. It takes time. So, you know, my advice would be to be patient, start slowly, practice mindfully, practice with awareness of your body the whole time, and just enjoy the practice and just keep an open mind, see where it leads to.
That's really helpful, actually, because, you know, if you don't know the different kinds of yoga out there, and you might think, okay, well, there's a yoga class down, you know, in my gym or health center or, you know, wherever you find classes. And you might not know exactly what these different kinds of yoga styles entail. And actually, I'll probably ask you to give me those different styles, and then I'll put them in the show notes so people can understand a little bit about them. For those who are probably just starting out or immediately recovering after breast cancer treatment, and they go to a class and it's a vinyasa class, they might struggle with that. So breast cancer treatment can be quite taxing. And of course, you know, patients might have had surgery, they might have had chemotherapy or radiotherapy. And yet people might still want to do some form of exercise during their treatment. And of course, you know, yoga can be practiced after treatment, of course. But the question I suppose I have is, if those who are going through breast cancer treatment would like to practice yoga through their treatment, is that a possibility? And if so, are there any particular restrictions that you might need to consider?
So first of all, yes, it is possible to practice yoga throughout your treatment. The most important thing initially is that you are recovered from your surgery, that all of your wounds are well healed, your stitches have dissolved or have been removed, and that you have the go-ahead from your doctor to start to exercise. So that's usually 6 to 8 weeks post-surgery. And do you agree with me? It's around about that time, isn't it? Yeah. That's the most important thing. Secondly, you know, your energy levels, if you're going through chemotherapy, your energy levels are going to fluctuate. So it's best to try and do some form of exercise, but you might not want to be doing yoga once or twice a week. So listen to your body. That's the most important thing. And if you feel that you're up to doing a practice, then obviously, please come to class. But there might be weeks where you just feel that you don't want to attend. So with the ladies that I teach at the moment, some weeks they might not come to class because they have just had their infusions and they're feeling very tired and suffering from the side effects of the treatment. And they may come, you know, sort of later on in their cycle. It's very much keeping an open mind, listening to your body and feeling that you're doing what's right for you. But a little bit of exercise, whether it's yoga, whether it's walking, is recommended throughout treatment is possible. And also, I actually found that some of the ladies that I teach, they find that they're actually more tired when they go through radiotherapy. So I found that they tend to drift off a little bit when they're going through radiotherapy because it is, you know, quite intensive, you know, yes. 5 days a week. Everybody's individual and, you know, there's no hard and fast rule for everybody. And certainly with the classes that I teach, I don't expect to see everybody every week. You can just drop in right. whenever you want to drop in.
Yeah. That's really helpful. And I think you're right about radiotherapy as well, because people think that chemotherapy is tough, and it is tough, you know, there's no doubt about it. But actually, radiotherapy can also be tough. And it's because, as you said, you know, it's every day, 5 days a week for, you know, number of weeks, 3 weeks sometimes. And the toing and froing from hospital can really take its toll, as well as everything that goes with that. So that is, again, something that people need to bear in mind. And you're right. I think you just have to look after yourself and listen to your body. And if you can go to class, fantastic. But if you can't, then don't worry about it. But any movement is better than no movement. So obviously, you know, people would go through treatment, and unfortunately, breast cancer treatment carries different side effects. That could either be side effects from surgery, and that, you know, there could be immediate side effects from surgery, or long-term side effects of surgery. But equally, you can have side effects from chemotherapy as well as radiotherapy. So many people do suffer from various side effects, and also endocrine treatment. So, you know, if you're on tamoxifen or you're on letrozole or any other aromatase inhibitor, these also carry very significant side effects for some. And yes. I'm hoping that yoga can help with these side effects. And if so, how can yoga help, you know, many, many, many of those who are suffering?
Yoga can help in many ways with many of the side effects that people experience through their breast cancer treatment. One of the most common side effects seems to be fatigue. And that's something that I hear a lot of from my students. And when you're feeling fatigued, the answer isn't always to rest. Sometimes yes. you just need to actually do some gentle exercise and actually move the body. Bringing yourself to a yoga class where you can actually do some nice movement with the breath. So I tend to introduce some nice half sun salutations into my yoga for breast cancer classes, where you are just flowing with the breath. And that's you know, bringing the circulation to the body. It's circulating lymphatic fluid around the body. It's increasing the heart rate, and it's connecting that breath with the movement. And that in itself can become, you know, quite a moving meditation. If you know, right. once you get really into it, so that can really help with alleviating fatigue. Another side effect is loss of muscle tone and also bone density. So some of the standing poses, like, you know, the warrior sequences, can be really strength building, particularly in the lower body. So muscles like the quadriceps and the gluteal muscles, those are big muscles in the body that really waste away quite quickly when you're not moving around as often as you would normally. Right. So those standing poses really work on building back strength in the muscles. But also when you hold those poses for about 20 or 30 seconds, so maybe about 3 to 5 breaths, holding a pose is actually building back bone strength and bone density. So right. you know, there are so many ways in which you know, a simple yoga practice can benefit those side effects. Again, with, you know, just with the stress and anxiety as well, just helping to focus the mind on the body and the sensations that are in the body as you move through your practice. The breath work that we do, particularly the long, slow, deep breathing, really helps to calm the nervous system. If you're breathing deeply into the belly, this long diaphragmatic breathing can really help to calm the nervous system. And also, I think what's really important is to give students strategies that they can take away from their yoga class and do at home. So if they're Yes. having difficulty sleeping, that they can do a simple breathing exercise, and maybe that might help them, you know, just calm down a little bit and help them get back to sleep. Or a simple, you know, nighttime, 5 to 10 minute nighttime sort of wind down routine that they can do on their own before they sort of climb into bed. So there are right. lots of ways in which a yoga practice can really benefit those, help those right. side effects of treatment.
Presumably it can help with stiffness and the possible side effects following surgery. If you've had a mastectomy, for example, you might have a bit of tightness on the chest if you haven't had reconstruction, yeah. or if you might have had reconstruction. If you've had axillary surgery, you might have got a little bit of tightness around your armpit. So presumably some yoga poses would be beneficial for those who are suffering from these side effects from surgery.
For sure, yes. I mean, yoga will really, as well as building back the strength, it will bring back that range of motion. So it will help to stretch the connective tissue, it will help to stretch the scar tissue around those areas where surgery has taken place. So, you know, we will move into those poses really gently, encouraging awareness of the body the whole time. And, you know, the priority in my classes are very much on building up that range of movement in the upper body. So we'll do lots of arm movements that will particularly stretch the front of the shoulders, underneath the armpits, the side body, keeping, you know, really mobilizing the shoulders, but then also building a little bit of strength as well back into the upper body as well. And then the breath, just using the breath. So, you know, putting your body into a particular pose, but not overstretching, and then just using the breath. The breath is such a powerful tool, using those deep inhales to stretch from the inside out, rather than sort of forcing your body into a shape. Just find that position that is comfortable for you, that works for you, and then allow the breath to do the work. So it's not cranking your body into these weird shapes, it's allowing the breath to do the work.
You know, if you've just finished your treatment and you may be contemplating of starting a yoga class for whatever reason, you know, to increase your flexibility, to increase your strength, to help with the anxieties and the stress that comes with such a diagnosis and treatment. How do you make sure that they're looked after in a class, for example? Because, you know, people might feel a little bit scared to go to a class for the first time. During treatment, for example, or maybe immediately after treatment?
Well, there are two things there. Firstly, if you're going to a specific yoga for cancer class, so for example, if you were coming to my yoga for breast cancer classes online, the first thing I would do would be to have a phone conversation with you and get to know you a bit better, take down your medical history, what you've been through with your treatment, what you're going through, and any other medical issues that I should be aware of as a yoga teacher. So whether you've got any knee or hip issues or anything else going on in your body that I should be aware of. So once we've had that initial chat, I will then offer a one-to-one lesson on Zoom so that I can really watch the student. I can really watch her carefully and she can give me feedback on how she's feeling as we move through the practice. So, you know, a typical class will start off with almost in a Shavasana position where I get everyone to just really focus on their breathing and focus on how they're feeling in their body, how they're feeling physically, energetically, mentally, emotionally, just observing, just acknowledging, and then coming back to the breath and really focusing on the breath. And then we'll move through right. some gentle warm-ups to limber the body. It's really important to oil the joints, so limber up all the sort of key joints in the body. Then we'll move on to some standing poses, which are going to be very much strengthening particularly the lower part of the body, but adding a lot of arm movement as well to mobilize the upper body. I always introduce some sun salutations. I love my sun salutations, and I think they're a really practical way of, again, of getting people to take their yoga sort of, you know, back home with them so that they can actually yes. do these themselves. You know, very simple half salutations. You can do the 5 minutes in the morning just to get you up and out of bed. And then towards the end of the practice, we'll start to wind things down with some nice calming forward folds and move into Shavasana, sort of the final relaxation. It's not always, you know, it's not always an easy pose for everybody to do. Lying still for 5 minutes can be a little bit of a challenge for some people. Some people absolutely love it and even fall asleep. So, you know, sometimes I might, it's not ideal to fall asleep, but you know, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. And, you know, sometimes I might actually read a nice poem at the end of the class, or I might take everyone through a short guided relaxation where they focus on different parts of the body, just to keep their focus inward and focused, you know, away from those other sort of busy thoughts that might be going around their heads. So that's that's a typical class with me. I always instill in all the students that really, you know, they are responsible for their own bodies always, and there's a very limited amount I can actually see on, you know, on a screen in 2D. But having had that chat with them about, you know, what side they've had their surgery on, or if they've got a PICC line or a port in, you know, I need to be aware of those things so that I make sure that they're not overstretching or that they're not uncomfortable. So that's from my perspective, that's how I try to keep my students safe. Yeah, if you're going to a face-to-face class, ideally you want to try and find a yoga for cancer class if you can. And there are some classes, I'm more familiar with the London-based classes than I am with others. So Tryoga offer yoga for cancer classes, and you know that you know it's absolutely ideal if you can get a specially trained teacher, but there aren't that many of us around, although hopefully that will be a growing number as time goes on. There are also cancer organizations who actually do online. Well, recently everything's been online, hasn't it? So there are a lot of online classes at the moment. So just, you know, remember that there's, you know, these classes I think are actually recorded. So just be mindful that you are listening to your body at all times. And if you do go to a face-to-face class, always tell the teacher what you've been through. They need to know. They need to know that before you start the class. Really important, whether it's a regular yoga class or whether it's a yoga for cancer class, the teacher needs to know what you've been through, when you've had your surgery, and any other medical conditions that, you know, they should be aware of as well. And just in terms of the yoga classes, that the general yoga classes that you might go to, I think as I mentioned earlier, make sure you choose your class carefully, choose the style of yoga carefully. You know, choose a hatha-based class or a gentle yoga class, Iyengar, or a restorative. But the restorative needs to balance out a little bit more activity as well. So go do a hatha class as well as a restorative class. Avoid the big sort of dynamic classes. And, you know, those are something that you can move on to at a later date. There's time. Just be patient. Just let your body get used to your practice and build it up slowly and gradually.
Yes, no, that's really helpful. And I'm just trying to think, I think perhaps why I didn't particularly enjoy my first yoga class was it probably was way too advanced for me at that time, being a complete beginner. And that really, you know, kind of put me off yoga to begin with. And that's just an illustration of how important it is to pick the correct class, because if you pick the wrong class and it's completely out of your comfort zone or your ability, and you end up really not liking it at all, it will just you know, put you off doing yoga in the future, which is quite, you know, that would be quite a tragedy, I think. So
you know, I think there is a style out there for most people. And if you find that you don't like your first class, don't give up after that first class. Just try something else. Try a different teacher as well, because not all teachers resonate with everybody. You know, you've got to find a teacher that resonates with you, and it's a very individual thing. So keep trying.
I actually want to talk about the benefits of yoga from the mind point of view, because you know, maybe people think that yoga is just for flexibility and for strength and for fitness, but actually it does have an important element for the mind, because it's, you know, it's a holistic exercise and a holistic practice, really. Could you elaborate a little bit about that, how yoga can benefit the mind?
I think most people, you know, first come to yoga because they're there for the physical practice, perhaps, you know, because they've got an ailment that they're trying to treat, or the doctor says try yoga if you've got a bad back, or they just want to try yoga because they're curious. And So initially it might become, you know, it might be very much a physical practice, but the more that you practice, the more that the sort of other more subtle benefits of yoga become, you know, you come to experience. And it is very much a mind-body practice. The word yoga actually means to yoke, to join in union. So, you know, we're joining the body, the mind and the spirit in our yoga practice. It's an all-encompassing right. practice that works on so many levels of the body. But those more subtle layers of the body become more apparent, and, you know, as time goes on, as you experience more the benefits of yoga. So right. you may not get them all in the first class or the first year or even, you know, even two, you know, it just takes time. Just be open to it. Keep an open mind, let your body experience whatever it's experienced in that given moment, and be aware of what, you know, what's going on in your body with your breath and any sensations that you might be feeling. So the breath is such a key element of our yoga practice, and it really is the breath that is a reflection of the state of our minds. So if the breath is calm and smooth and long, we tend to, you know, be calmer in our minds. If it's short and sharp and raggedy, you know, we tend to be sort of a bit stressed and are you know, more into that sort of sympathetic nervous system, that fight and flight nervous system. But it's just being aware of that. And there'll be different times in the day that we are more, you know, in that state of fight and flight, and other times where we recognize that we actually need to come out of it and we need to calm down a bit. And yoga teaches you to be aware of those different states, to use the breath, to soothe the body, to calm the body. So, you know, taking some nice long diaphragmatic breaths into the abdomen, you know, stimulates the vagus nerve. It helps to, you know, calm the body and stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system, taking you out of that fight and flight. But we need a balance of both. We need a balance of both in order to, you know, go through our day. And it's just observing when you're too much in that fight and flight mode and need to come down. And certainly going through a cancer diagnosis, you know, you've got all sorts of, you know, occasions where you're, you know, you're anxious and you're stressed, you know, when you're about to have a scan or when you're just digesting the news that you've got cancer. There are all sorts of situations like that. And if I can give students strategies to help to just calm themselves down while, you know, they're in these situations, you know, that can be, you know, that would all come through in their yoga practice, you know, just helping right. them to breathe more deeply, be aware of their posture, all of that. So, you know, yoga is very much an all-encompassing practice.
I think that's the beauty of yoga. It, you get two for the price of one. You get the
physical,
get the physical benefit, but you also get the mental and the mind benefit. I think that's where yoga is fantastic. If you haven't started yoga and you want to start yoga, what kind of equipment do you need? Do you need much at all?
You don't need a huge amount. No, I mean, if you're practicing at home, it would be nice to have a yoga mat because that will help you stop slipping. It's a good idea to have a sticky mat, especially for the standing poses. Nothing too mm-hmm. thick. So you don't necessarily want a workout mat that could be quite spongy. Get a thin yoga mat that's about kind of 4 to 5 millimeters thick. Okay. You can get them, you know, quite cheaply. They cost, you know, they start at about £20. Otherwise, you know, you can practice on a towel if you have to. That's, you don't absolutely need a yoga mat, but I would recommend one for safety reasons. Certainly you can use homemade props. You don't need to have yoga belts or blocks or anything. You can use a dressing gown strap to sort of as a yoga prop if you need to. You can use some nice thick books as yoga blocks instead of having, you know, you don't need to buy all this expensive equipment. But if you were going to buy anything, I would invest in a basic yoga mat. There's not a huge investment. You don't have to have all the latest gear either. You can just wear comfortable clothes. You can even wear your pajamas if you pajamas, really want to. You know, it, as long as they're loose fitting and comfortable, that is the most important thing.
So yeah, Marcia, this has been a fantastic conversation, and I've learned loads, and I'm sure lots of people out there who've listened have learned a great deal as well, and about the benefits of yoga and how fantastic it is. And if you haven't tried it, I would firstly, I would definitely recommend it. If people want to connect with you, I want to, check you out and see what you're doing, where would you like them to go?
So in the first instance, please visit my website, which is marcie.yoga, that's spelled marcie.yoga, or connect with me on Instagram, which is @yogaforbreastcancer. Those are the two best ways to get in touch with me. As I mentioned before, I've got my online classes, which are open to everyone, no matter where you are in the country. That's the beauty of them. So get in touch and I'll see if I can sort of help you with some online classes. I'm also going to be teaching some face-to-face classes with one of the breast cancer charities called Future Dreams. They are opening a brand new centre in London in the King's Cross area. And I'm going to be teaching some yoga classes there, and we're going to hold a yoga retreat there in October in Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
I'll definitely list all of those things in the show notes so people can look them up there and hopefully connect with you and learn about all the good stuff that you do. So Marcie, thank you so much again for your time and for your expertise today. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we can catch up soon.
Thank you, Tasha. It's been a pleasure being on your show. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marcie, for your time and expertise today. And I will leave all of these links in the show notes at mybreastmyhealth.com/episode39. And if you are enjoying this episode, thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so yet, do hit that subscribe button so that all new episodes get downloaded straight to your podcasting app of choice. In the meantime, thanks so much for listening, and I shall see you in the next one. Take care.